Today's show is sponsored by Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield Technology. Regular use of Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield provides a continuous invisible shield of protection against dandruff, itch, and dryness, renewing your protection with every wash. Get up to 100% dandruff protection that's never not working with Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield Technology, available at Walmart.com.
We also want to thank Policy Genius for supporting the podcast. Look, I'm going to give you the headline right here. Policy Genius makes it easy to compare home and auto insurance in one single place. You can find home and auto coverage similar to what you have now, but at a lower price. So it's very simple, and yet it really, really helps. They've saved customers an average of $1,250 per year.
Ooh.
That's not bad.
No, that's not bad.
That's nice. Over what they were paying for home and auto insurance. And new customers save an average of $435 on auto and $350 on home insurance. So getting started is easy. You head to policygenius.com/footballers, answer a few questions about your home or about yourself and your property, and then take it from there. They'll compare the rates from the top insurers, Progressive to Allstate, find you the lowest quote. So head to policygenius.com/footballers to get started right now. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. policygenius.com/footballers.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in.
It's football time. I remembered this morning.
Oh.
Like 30 seconds ago that it was in fact football time, and I got real happy about it.
Look, congratulations, Mike.
Yes, well, welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. But, like, in season for us is a really strange time. Like, it's just, I woke up, I didn't know what day it was, I guess. Like, oh, it's Friday. Nope. It's when, nope. What day is it?
It's actually funny, though, because when you in season, it's more a surprise. It's almost like you would need to say, it's not football time.
Right.
On the 2 days a week or whatever where it feels like there's no football.
But that's not the lyrics.
Right. Mm. Which you wrote.
That'd be very disingenuous to the art.
Yeah. I mean, you've got those lyrics scribbled down in some kind of
it's on an
eclectic
napkin.
Notepad somewhere.
Somewhere.
Welcome in.
In my Trapper Keeper.
you still keep yours?
Yeah.
Can you still buy Trapper Keepers?
I mean, you have to be able to.
I can confirm.
Oh, can you?
Yeah.
Did you pursue them?
I have children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, and you wanted them to have the best. You wanted them to be known in their social circles as the Trapper Keeper
kids.
That's right.
Five stars.
The difference between a Trapper Keeper and a regular binder is just
money.
Is it simply cost?
That is correct.
Or is it the flap?
I think it's the flap.
Okay.
I never had one. As you imagine, I mean, we've already gone over this. I didn't have cable television.
PBS over here.
PBS over here had the, I'm sure I had a Trapper Keeper knockoff, because we were into
Keeper
that.
Trapper.
Keeper, yeah, I had a Keeper Trapper. And no, we were very, I saw all the pretty things, and I wanted them. And then my mom would kind of navigate to find the closest thing.
Massima.
And Stussy.
Yeah. Guests with three S's, yeah.
Fear.
I did. I had a lot of fear shirts. It was weird. We were fine as kids, by the way. We were well taken care of. We just weren't.
Had a slice of bread every day.
Oh my gosh. My parents heard this.
Pour a little condensed milk on it, you're fine. Golly. Just eat up.
Oh, look, no. I was no Brooks. That's all I'm saying. Never not working today. The fantasy forecast starts of the week. The boom boom kicker, and we have a lot of news to get into. I mean, I don't know about you guys. It felt like this waiver week was kind of the craziest so far. Where mm-hmm.
There was a lot.
There were moves to be made at every level, right? Like the high spend level, and then the mid level, and then even some players that like Alex Collins kind of came to the forefront late in the week, and
every position mattered. A ton of tight ends. There were great quarterback streaming options. Obviously every week running backs and wide receivers matter. No, it was much more hectic, and you also finally had one of these weeks where drop it like it's hot mattered. You had more and more players that had to be kicked to the curb that you go, I might want to dumpster dive and take that trash onto my team.
All right, Twitter at the FF Ballers if you want to follow the show, Instagram.com/fantasyfootballers. I think our social media intern would be very happy to hear me mention we do have a TikTok account that's coming in hot with a lot of content on the reg.
Mm-hmm. I've heard about it.
Yeah.
It's fire.
TikTok, that is.
Yeah. Yeah, you've heard about TikTok. So, I mean, if there are a lot of people on TikTok. I know Al's on TikTok.
He is right now.
Currently.
Like during the show.
Yes.
During most of
just
every show.
Can't get enough. Look at this dance.
He's in the back doing the dances.
All right. I guess we'll move on.
Never Not Working. Presented by Head & Shoulders, Scalp Shield Technology. Available at Walmart.
He's on right now. You know, our angle here in the studio, by the way, Black Shirt Day, apparently. We're all,
felt a little puffy.
Are we mourning the loss of Mike's season? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But and the view that I have of the producers could be improved, is all I'm saying. Like, Al Borland is absolutely, it's the two eyes.
Yes.
From like Home Improvement, like was it Wilson, the neighbor?
What's yeah, the that name? Is, yeah, that is ironic because Al Borland is also from that same yes. show.
And then there's absolutely no Brooks. I mean, I forget Brooks is here because there's just a camera and a screen. You guys need seats that can raise, like very high, like inappropriately high during parts of the show.
The one thing that Brooks can never afford.
Okay. Height.
Yep.
Okay. All right, what are we doing for Never Not Working today? Because we want to do this each and every week. We want to outwork our league mates, mm-hmm. get an advantage, and take hold of our leagues.
On today's Never Not Working, we're 4 weeks in. It's time to start looking towards the next chunk of the season and even getting ready for the second half. So we wanted to, you know, let's check in on the rookies. How are they doing? The rookie wide receivers and the tight ends we talked about earlier in the season, these thresholds that we're looking for, you know, like good friends of ours, you know, at 4 for 4, they had an article talking about a 35 yards per game and a 21% air yard share. And we have taken a look at all the rookies here, and unfortunately there's not a lot happening. It's really top heavy. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase and Devontae Smith are absolutely crushing this year, and I don't know that you can trade for them real easily. Like Ja'Marr, probably not. Devontae Smith, it's very possible. He's had the two bigger games and two letdowns, so you could certainly try to go after him.
That's the funny thing is I don't even consider him smashing in my mind.
Okay, yeah, he's not. But so he's like, had two great games.
Yeah.
And so you could possibly go after him, but we're trying to look at these lower-level guys that haven't fully broken out yet, but are they on their way? You're like, Kyle Pitts is – everything is there for Kyle Pitts. We just have not seen the true breakout. He's seeing almost 23% of the air yards for the Falcons. He's averaging over 47 yards a game. We just have not seen that true monster performance from him. And after going through, for me, looking at the rookies, the only one that stands out of – It
that you're intrigued
it, yeah,
by?
Yeah, it should be stash time because you can. This guy's on waiver wires and things because he was a hot rookie in the preseason area. The drum beat was getting extremely loud, but it's Elijah Moore from the New York Jets, their second round rookie pick. He has got nearly 20 in games played. You know, nearly 25% of the air yards, averaged 22 yards a game. So he's doesn't quite hit the thresholds, but he's on the cusp. And obviously, he lost time to a game because of a concussion, and maybe we have signs of life here from Zach Wilson and the New York Jets. You know, they were fine this past week against the Titans, got that W. I think that the Jets are not in the worst situation this week up against the Atlanta Falcons. They're the London game, if I'm not mistaken.
That's
we'll
correct.
We'll see how that factors in the young lads traveling over the ocean, but like. unfortunately, at this point, I don't have a whole lot to report. I wish there was more action here, but Tony is interesting, but he hasn't played a lot.
Yeah, it's similar to not having played a lot. Yeah, I was going to say Kadarius Tony is someone I think that you could target. The per-game thresholds aren't there, but that's kind of misleading with him because he wasn't really in most of those games until injuries allowed him to shine this last week. He would be a name to monitor, I think, going forward.
I'm in a 12-step program just to trust Corey Davis on a weekly basis. So that makes it very difficult for me to get there with Elijah Moore. But Kadarius Toney is the guy for me to target, hold, see what happens. The team's talking about, regardless of injury status, getting him more involved. Kenny Golladay is a walking injury, a limping injury. I don't even know what the expression is at all times. Tony is a player that on film, I've seen it now, and he was complaining about his touches early on, and the team has been more impressive to me. So it's ironic that you got two New York teams with some of those names. You know, Jaylen Waddle's one that I would bring up.
Yes.
You know, with the injury now to
Will Fuller. He's on IR, so he'll miss at least three games.
But that team is just such a disaster right now that it's hard to trust. I mean, the targets were there for 1 week for him where he had 13. But then he rebounded down to four targets last week, and we already know the yardage on the targets is not high.
Yeah, I mean, it's really tough with Jacoby Brissett, but after this week at Tampa Bay, they could get Tua back. I think Waddle, I would take Waddle over Kadarius Toney for sure, and he does meet some of these thresholds that we looked at in the Never Not Working segment early in the offseason about what to come into week four or into week five for the NFL and look for. So Jaylen Waddle's someone that maybe you target now for super cheap or even get them off of waivers in certain leagues and hope for a better second half of the year.
We're going to talk more about Kyle Pitts later on. I got some questions for you guys regarding him.
Okay.
Get up to 100% dandruff protection that's never not working with Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield technology available at Walmart.com.
News and notes from around the league presented by Sleeper.
There's a lot going on, so I'm going to get right to it. Matt Nagy announced that Justin Fields will start for the Bears moving forward.
About time. You didn't do it the way we liked, but you did it, and it's good to know. I think we talked about on Green Room, the final straw for me on Allen Robinson. I want to see. I think he could still be good, but if he comes out and has a dud, then I think you have to mentally move on with him because this could shift over to Darnell Mooney. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's outrageous to think that he could become the number one for this team in 2021.
It's also very possible that none of the pass catching options are consistent in any way, shape, or form.
You said possible. I believe what you meant was probable.
Yeah, and I know Mike doesn't like me mentioning 11 completions for Justin Fields, but that's 11 completions for Justin Fields that would go and be distributed amongst pass catchers, where 11 catches would be kind of like, I don't know, a nice Allen Robinson day in years gone by. So if the team, to me, this is a decision in the interest of the long-term future of the team, not the short-term future of the team, which means there's you want to win games every week. Maybe Justin Fields is your best shot right now. Maybe Andy Dalton's your best shot right now. I don't know what the answer really is. But the long-term health of the team is Justin Fields. And part of that's going to be protecting him from himself, right? Like a rookie is going to go through growth pains. So don't put him in a position to throw the ball 45 times. Like that's not going to happen, it seems, with this team. Good defense. They've had a running game. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he'll evolve into Justin Herbert by the end of the year. But there's not a lot of certainty in the pass catching on that roster. Chris Carson did not practice Wednesday. Game time decision, if I'm handicapping it, look, I don't know. I don't think he's playing.
Yeah, the beat reporters around Seattle that I follow pretty much believe he won't play, but they'll see if he's feeling better and if he's, game. But if he doesn't play, Alex Collins will be the next man up. He's not going to be by himself. Travis Homer is involved. This isn't a great matchup. He's not like a smash play just because the starter goes down. I do think he's a solid flex play. If Chris Carson is out, I will be playing him. But, of course, I will not be playing him in my flex, even though I view him as a flex, because he's playing Thursday night football. I'll put him at running back. I don't expect Chris Carson to go tonight.
Zeke missed practice, dealing with some knee discomfort, but intends to return to practice today. Chase Edmonds didn't practice on Wednesday due to a shoulder injury or issue.
And Christian McCaffrey was a limited participant. And his head coach, Matt Ja Rule, said essentially they're hopeful that he can play, but he's not going to put McCaffrey in a position to further injure himself.
So that could be game time decision?
Could be.
Joe Mixon didn't practice on Wednesday. He did work on the side. He was on the bike, and I think...
That's my favorite place to work.
On the bike?
Yeah, on the side.
Oh, okay. Well...
It's the safest place to be.
I think he might... I mean, I'm still 50-50 on him playing.
I still lean that he won't play, but it's too early. We'll know, you know, more soon. I know when it was first reported, it was reported as a high ankle sprain, and then they came out and said no, it's a low grade lower ankle sprain. But the fact that he's just been riding a bike, I don't know.
We'll see.
Stay tuned.
T. Higgins did return to practice, got in a limited session. We'll see if he's back this week. That could, I don't know, throw some cold water on starting Tyler Boyd and chasing his points from last week.
Yeah.
Curtis Samuel sidelined for Wednesday's practice, groin injury. This is the same injury.
Yeah, it could just be a veteran day of rest.
You have to hope that's what it is. Yeah. If this is actually a re-aggravation, then,
oh, goodness gracious,
then you move on. But we don't know. That could just be they're resting him, and that was the injury from, you know, the before, so he's on the report.
Logan Thomas was placed on IR. So for Washington, they signed a tight end, Jay Sternberger, off the Seahawks practice squad, formerly of the Packers. And right now, the odds on favorite would be Ricky Seals-Jones to get passing down work, which could make him a, I don't know, sneaky DFS play.
Yeah, it's possible.
A.J. Brown returned to a limited practice with the hamstring. Julio didn't. So Brown is now out in front of Julio Jones in terms of getting back on the field potentially this week. And Jeremy McNichols was limited with the hamstring, back up to Derek, 35 touches per week.
Sure.
It's crazy because Derrick Henry's putting up insane numbers, and then I think McNichols had like 12 fantasy points last week. Baker Mayfield apparently has suffered a partially torn labrum in the non-throwing shoulder. He did this in week two.
Yeah, thanks for the news, Cleveland.
Well, luckily he is not throwing with that arm, and he will be...
He's not throwing with that arm, but the last
couple... He's not throwing well with the other one.
Say the last couple of weeks, he has not looked... like Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, he you're right. And they're going to protect him. He's not going to get surgery. He's going to keep playing through it. And so pain tolerance and accommodating that shoulder.
Look at that. So last week against the Minnesota Vikings, that's not a terrifying secondary at this point, 33 attempts completed, 15 passes. That's a 46% completion rate, including a devastating miss to Odell Beckham that would have been an easy touchdown.
65-yard touchdown miss.
It's this to me, I mean, I guess we'll talk about the matchup here, but he's playing against the Chargers, and I'm trying to avoid almost all of that situation except for the running backs this week.
Would you play Odell Beckham?
No.
Or, well, I was going to give you another option. I mean just leave it blank. Do you want me to leave it blank? A.J. Green against San Francisco or Odell Beckham Jr.?
I would probably play Green. The matchup, the Chargers are incredible. So the matchup was already terrifying, but now you have this injury. It's not great.
All right, let me put A.J. Green into my lineup here. I never do that, but you guys told me to put A.J. Green in a consensus. T.J. Hockenson, Dalvin Cook, Jimmy Garoppolo, and George Kittle did not practice on Wednesday. More injury updates on tomorrow's episode. And an Injury Blitz podcast hits every Friday afternoon from our injury expert, Matthew Betts, who I have the privilege of joining on the DFS show tomorrow.
Ooh.
So I will be, you know.
You want your advice from a Millie Maker winner? Get it tomorrow.
Yeah. We were kind of discussing in the studio here because Kyle the Borgogan is, of course, again, just off, you know.
Always on vacation.
Gallivanting.
This guy on the beach.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
He's got an addiction. We're discussing in the studio, like, which one of us should maybe join Matthew on the show. And then I went and won.
Yeah.
And now I have to do it. News and notes brought to you by Sleeper, the leader in breaking news alerts. download the Sleeper app. Let's jump into the ads.
Sure.
Well, you gave me a look. I was going to hit the forecast button.
I was curious which way we were going. But
now, what do you prefer? You want to go one matchup?
No, let's thank today's sponsors and then we'll get to the matchup.
Let's go ahead and get ourselves in a good headspace.
A commercial break.
Okay, get ourselves in a good headspace, because wouldn't it be great if there were a pocket-sized guide that helped you maybe sleep better, focus better, act better, be better? And there is. And if you have 10 minutes, Headspace can change your life. It's your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. And they are one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation, they can help you feel better. Are you overwhelmed? Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation for you. You need help falling asleep? Headspace got you covered with the wind down sessions that, look, people swear by those. That, you know, for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations that you can do with your kids. I have an account. Meditation is a great, avenue for you to help yourself focus and act and sleep better. And they make it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule anytime, anywhere. And you deserve to feel happier. And Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/footballers. That's headspace.com/footballers for a free 1-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. Head to headspace.com/footballers today.
Footland, today's podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp, they're here to help. I mean, it's right in the name, and it couldn't be named better, because they're going to help you assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist if you need someone to talk to. I have myself done counseling for years. It really does help, and BetterHelp is a way that you can take care of this at home. You can start communicating in under 48 hours.
I would say it's the evolution of this field, where now you can get access at home. You don't have to have an intimidating waiting room or any of the kind of stigmas that may have previously come with mental health.
Absolutely. You can log into your account anytime. You send a message to your counselor. You'll get a timely and thoughtful response. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. Like Andy said, you don't have to sit in the waiting room with traditional therapy. And it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling. Financial aid is available. Visit betterhelp.com/footballers. That's Better, H-E-L-P, and join the over 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. Fantasy footballers listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/footballers.
Fantasy Forecast.
Now we're into the forecast. And yesterday we talked about the Thursday night game, so if you want to hear the breakdown for the Rams-Seahawks matchup, you can listen to yesterday's show.
It's crazy. The Thursday game hasn't started, and yet this London game, it just kicked off.
Yes, yes. This is the first time we've done a matchup during the actual event. You got to get up. Early in the morning. 9:30 Eastern in London, the New York Jets at 1-3 taking on the 1-3 Atlanta Falcons. The DK Sportsbook line here, Falcons -3. The over-under is 46. Jason, what stadium is this game being played at?
Oh, the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Thank you. Are you a professor from Harry Potter?
From Oxford.
Okay. That was great. That was very similar to the Monday Punday, but had a lighter, more teachery feel.
Right. Well, he's older.
Yeah. So this game is, I mean, for us, 6:30 in the morning. You ready, Brooksy?
Oh, yeah.
Let me know how it is.
Oh, man. Yeah, it'll be kicking off early. Zach Wilson, Matt Ryan. Look, the storyline really between these two teams right now is Cordarrelle Patterson. And what he's been able to do, 5 touchdowns. Are you staying in the Flames with Cordarrelle?
I am staying in the Flames, not in the sense of, you know, he's the running back two right now. I'm not starting him as that by any means. He doesn't get the opportunities, the touches, the snaps to rely on that. But he has been an important part of the offense. And the Jets' ground defense, if you are legally allowed to call it that, is so putrid that if you look at the fantasy matchups against every position so far this season, the running backs are 32nd, so they do whatever they want, and none of the other positions score well against the Jets, but not because the Jets are good, but because it's like the running backs are just selfish. They just get all the work. The teams are in a giant lead, and you know, they go the rest of the way. The question here becomes: there's a lot of debate. What is Cordarrelle Patterson? Is he a running back? Is he a wide receiver?
He's a running back.
Yes, he's listed as a running back.
And he's a running back.
I believe that Mike Davis actually has a good game. I really do. I would be completely willing, after, you know, four mediocre games from Mike Davis, to throw him in my lineup. You know, if Christian McCaffrey was out and I had Mike Davis or I had Chuba Hubbard, I'd be throwing Mike Davis out there. There's a great matchup and the opportunities. Here's Mike Davis's opportunities. 21, 16, 16, 15. He's done nothing with them. But a good salve for that is this matchup.
I think I pivot between Cordarrelle and Cordarrelle every single time
Likewise.
That I say his name.
Likewise.
Do you do the same thing?
Yeah, let's figure that out.
Can we get Brooksy, you have a new job. You get to figure out which one of those two is right.
Oh,
I think I've done that for like 10 years.
Yeah, I've figured it out over and over. I've looked it up and then I forget. So we need a nickname is what we need.
Corduroy.
Oh, man.
That's not the best nickname. Yeah. Like some people get Fireball.
Yeah.
Some people get Corduroy.
No, come on. Cordarrelle.
Is that the right way?
It is to me.
Oh, good. You said it with such authority.
Yeah.
And I mean, is the Monday Punday nickname Scordarrelle not perfect?
Like, Scordarrelle?
Well, it could be Scordarrelle.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Brooks, you didn't
help
us with
anything. Come on, Brooks.
I have a difference of opinion with Jason on Mike Davis. I am...
You hesitant?
It's...
Reticent?
I don't disagree with the matchup that it's all there for Mike Davis. He should succeed, but we finally saw Wayne Gallman activated. It wasn't a huge workload, and Mike Davis still saw 67% of the snaps. But with the way that Patterson's playing, and like Mike Davis's final line last week was 14 yards on 13 carries. Now he had a long of 8, like that. So it was not a great day for Mike Davis, and it wouldn't surprise me to see the Falcons moving forward with more Patterson and working Gallman in, so this is just like a three-person timeshare instead of just the two.
By the way, I don't have an answer on the pronunciation, but I do know now that his nickname has been Flash and Cadillac.
Cadillac?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, remember Cadillac Williams?
Yeah, see, that's tough.
Wikipedia certified.
Because Josh Gordon is Flash.
Yeah.
Was.
Isn't Melvin Gordon Flash?
Probably. Anyone with the last name of Gordon is Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
No, that's fair. Matt Ryan, is he an option in this game after what you said, the run funnel defense? I mean, the Jets won last week. I want to give them credit. They beat the Tennessee Titans. They funneled Derrick Henry into the middle of the field to gather yards, and they did, you know, they couldn't get anything else done.
Low-level quarterback, too.
And then Calvin Ridley was not spotted at practice on Thursday. We do not know why.
On Thursday?
Was he wearing, like, a Waldo outfit?
No, he wasn't. I don't
Camouflage,
think.
Camouflage,
this
maybe?
Wasn't not being able to find him. Mm. He literally wasn't there.
Hmm.
So this could be a concern.
Was he striped?
That's what I'm saying.
Instead of spotted?
Yeah, so pay attention to that. We'll know more about that tomorrow. I just wanted to quickly throw out on the Jets side of the ball. I just made a trade in our listener league. My hand was forced a little bit, but just wanted to highlight it. I went and got Michael Carter from the New York Jets, where it seems like the playing time is
Michael Starter
is switching to him. Like, and now, I mean, I can't say he's been fantastic, like where I just kind of poo-pooed what Mike Davis did. But, I mean, maybe the Jets can build on this, where they went from scoring 20 total points over the first 3 weeks to 27. You know, and Zach Wilson will improve. So just keep that in the back of your mind that Michael Carter could be a second-half player who not a league winner by any stretch, but someone who might turn into a running back two by the end.
I'm still starting Kyle Pitts at the tight end position. With Elijah Moore returning, with Corey Davis having the big game last week, with Keelan Cole getting involved, are you still in on Jameson Crowder this week?
Yes.
Anybody else you want to talk about in this game?
No.
All right, the Green Bay Packers at 3-1 take on the 3-1 Cincinnati Bengals in Cincinnati. The DraftKings Sportsbook line here, Packers minus 3. The over-under is 51.5. Pretty excited and intrigued by this game.
Yes.
Packers have, they've rebounded after that odd performance against New Orleans. They have come back. They've scored 27 or more points in the last three games. They look great. And you saw Randall Cobb getting involved last week. You saw your first game, albeit in a blowout, where A.J. Dillon actually, in my opinion, even though they were garbage time carries, it was the first time he looked good this season and was moving the pile, was making some bigger plays. Devontae Adams, you're always starting. But what other decisions do you have on the Packers side? I mean, Adams, Jones, and Rodgers, you play.
Yes.
Do you touch anybody else?
I think the question would be Randall Cobb. This is one of those games where you could end up with a really offensive game. With Jair Alexander out, the defense takes a massive hit on the Packers side of the ball. With the Bengals being the home team, I think that, you know, they're going to be able to get going, be able to play offense without crowd noise. And so this could be a game that hits the over, has a lot of points. And if that happens, you would expect Randall Cobb to be targeted. I mean, obviously, would not think two touchdowns like he had last week, but he's in flex consideration for me.
Beckham this week or Randall Cobb chasing?
Oof.
See, the targets and the snaps are there for Beckham, so that would be my pick.
Yeah. Randall Cobb, he came through with the monster day because of the two touchdowns, but I think I'd still play Beckham over that.
Joe Burrow, in this matchup, you mentioned Jair Alexander missing, so maybe you don't read too far into
I think Burrow's a fine play.
This week?
Yeah, especially if T. Higgins is back.
Back out there. And then Joe Mixon could not. I mean, he could either be limited or miss the game. I would expect, from what I've seen of Samaje Perine throughout his career, him to be less successful and them to lean on him far less than they would have Joe Mixon. So maybe Chase, Boyd, and Higgins are all in play, and if you need a guy?
Yeah, they're going to need to throw the ball in this game.
What about Uzama after last week?
Well, it's a good matchup. The Packers so far on the year are 25th against tight end, so I would not be willing to start Uzama. I don't have that kind of intestinal fortitude.
Tonyan.
However.
Or Uzama.
Tonyan, because I think when you look at touchdown options throwing the ball from Rodgers, it's Devontae Adams, and then Tonyan and Aaron Jones is kind of the next man up, whereas on the Cincinnati side, T. Higgins could get touchdowns, Jamar Chase can get touchdowns, Tyler Boyd could get touchdowns. So I would go Tonyan there. But the point is more that C.J. Uzama and a quality matchup against Packers gives me even more confidence with this receiving core to start Joe Burrow.
All right, let's move forward. The Detroit Lions at 0-4 taking on the 1-3 Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota. The DK Sportsbook line, Vikings minus 8.5.
Oh.
The over-under is 49.5 points. Disappointing offensive performance last week. They were percolating. Cousins was dominating, and then they put up 7 total points against the Cleveland Browns. So that part, a little disappointing. You want to bounce back? Why not do it at home against the Detroit Lions? Jefferson, Thielen, Cousins, Cook.
Fire him up.
And then yeah. Tyler Conklin had targets last week. It just didn't work out. Would you play there it is. Would you play Tyler Conklin or CJ Uzama if you were looking for a start at tight end?
I would play Conklin. I would play Conklin over Tonyan as well.
All right.
And just for Dalvin Cook real quick, he says he's not 100%. I'm playing Dalvin Cook where I have him. It's not that type of a situation, but it's if you don't expect you're getting week-winning Dalvin Cook, even with this incredible matchup. At least that's how I'm mentally preparing for the weekend.
Does it seem like Dalvin Cook, compared to other players, re-aggravates injuries more often?
No, I don't feel like he re-aggravates injuries more often. He gets hurt mid-game as often as anyone, but I don't know that it's always a re-aggravation of, you know, the same injury.
All right. Jared Goff, still one of the league leaders when it comes to...
Talking about Detroit at all?
That's what I just did.
Yeah, Jared Goff's their quarterback.
Jared Goff plays quarterback for Detroit.
I had put him back on the Rams, fellas. I don't know what day it is.
Wow.
Yes.
It's football time, Mike.
I don't know
where I am. Set your alarm for football time. Jared Goff has been a pleasant surprise when it comes to like total passing yardage. I think he's in the top five in the league. You know, he's completing 20-plus passes a week. So when you think about the value proposition for, I don't know, like Justin Fields compared to Jared Goff, where he's had a week where he's passed it 57 times, last week 38 times, where's the value coming? I mean, the Minnesota Vikings defense, they slowed down Baker and Odell last week in the passing game. And like Quintez Cephas, it's like when you look his direction, he gives you nothing. When you look away, he gives you a decent performance. And last week was Khalif Raymond for two touchdowns.
Yeah, those two guys are the wide receivers that will be utilized the most, and I would not play either one of them. I just I don't want to rely on guys that can completely disappear that aren't known commodities on a bad offense. I'm sticking with DeAndre Swift and T.J. Hockenson, and then I think on a more emergency level would be Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams last week had 14 carries, which is great. That's a lot of work, so you can plug him in your lineup. Minnesota's defense seems to be improving as the season has gone on, and Jamal Williams is unfortunately not as talented as DeAndre Swift.
It was strange.
He's due for a touchdown, though, every other game.
That Jamal Williams saw 14, like, he had more, if I'm not mistaken, he had more opportunities week than DeAndre Swift, and yet it was the lowest snap share of Jamal Williams' season, down all the way at 30%. I think you can still play him as, like a running back three or a flex. I mean, unfortunately, he's my running back two this week. But with Swift's, he didn't practice on Wednesday either, and all of his injury stuff, I think Jamal will still be a weekly person that you can play with touchdown upside every week.
Flex level?
Yeah.
All right, the Denver Broncos at 3-1 take on the 1-3 Pittsburgh Steelers. The DK Sportsbook line here, Steelers -1. You're not going to like this next part. The over-under in this game is 39.5 points. I believe Pittsburgh has put up 17, 10, and 17 in the last 3 weeks. The offense is broken. Big Ben is broken. Did you guys happen to see that video of Big Ben's mechanic video?
Yes.
I mean, it was so, to me, it was almost endearing. In the sense that, like, it was a video with Sims, Phil Sims' son.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was a recent video or not.
No, I think it was a couple of years ago. But he clearly is a natural, talented thrower of the ball, that Big Ben. The technique, and when he's talking about, how you hold the ball or how you throw it, what's your, your footwork, he's like, I don't know any of that stuff.
He's like, I never worked with a passing coach.
I just find a wide receiver that's open, I throw him the ball.
It's funny. But the final days are upon us with Big Ben, or so it seems. The targets are going to be there for Deontay Johnson. The targets are going to be there for Najee Harris. He's the target leader in football.
That's the only two that I would play. Like, if Chase Claypool, he is my dude, but if he is back this week, this is not the matchup that I want to play him. Fresh off the injury and against the Denver Broncos secondary, I don't want to do it. Juju seeing volume, but, I mean, this 8 targets for 2 receptions, it is deteriorating rapidly in Pittsburgh. And, unfortunately, these guys, what's crazy is last year Big Ben was awful, and all 3 wide receivers had fantasy value. Even Juju, Juju was way better than people remember last year, but it is not there this year. And
a lot of that is Najee. A lot of that is targets going to Najee, and they didn't throw the ball to Connor last year and other players.
Yeah, the other the new option of Najee Harris being there, but as of now, it's Deontay and Najee from the Steelers moving forward until I see some signs of life.
We will talk about Deontay in a little bit. The Denver Broncos, though, I mean, when's the last time the Steelers at home were just 1-point favorites against a team that doesn't know who is starting a quarterback right now? Like, that's the tough thing. I mean, it could be Drew Lock this week. It could be Teddy Bridgewater. He didn't practice on Wednesday. He is progressing through the protocol. I imagine he gets back out there. And, you know, the Pittsburgh defense, the one thing they've succeeded in this year is limiting fantasy points to the running back. When you have a split backfield with Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams, you're on the road, and then you have the quarterback question marks. I would probably just – I'd be trying to find somebody else than these two guys.
I agree.
I would. I think across the board in this matchup, I mean, Noah Fant is someone that you're going to plug in because when you've got him rostered, there's not better options on the waiver wires, but I'm not excited about this matchup. Even guys like Courtland Sutton, who I would target in a trade. I like Courtland Sutton. This just doesn't scream the matchup I really want to, you know, there's 39.5 points according to DraftKings. And when you look at the defenses and you look at the situations, you see how this happens. You go, this could just be a real fart fest. And if you don't have guaranteed targets, you're not going to end up with a great fantasy day. There are so many options every week that are out there that you can pivot to on the Courtland Sutton level that I would imagine you can this would be a bench week.
What's crazy about this line of 39.5 is that it is – that's a good line. I don't know if I want to call my shot. Oh, that's easily going to go over.
No, I could see it.
I don't know. I don't know
17
if we're
to 10.
I don't know if we're making it to 39 here.
Can I bring something up about Courtland Sutton?
Please.
Couple of dud weeks after the one explosion week, quarterback problems. I'm shipping Sutton out now. They're already talking about Judy coming back very, very soon. We're going into week 5. Judy could be back week 7. So why not ship him out now if he has perceived value? Because I don't think it's going up for Courtland Sutton.
I don't blame you. Pittsburgh, next week, the Las Vegas Raiders, followed up by the Cleveland Browns. You have three tough matchups. Here for the Broncos.
My counter argument would be when Judy went down, Courtland Sutton showed out. He showed that he was back. The game afterwards, they went 26-0. Don't need to pass the ball. We talked about the Jets, right? Like, they don't give up any fantasy points to quarterbacks, wide receivers, anything, because it's all the running game. And that was true that game. And then last week was Drew Lock. So you're right. Judy's coming back, and maybe he just comes in and steals the show and all the opportunity. But I don't think what we've seen the last 2 weeks from Sutton is indicative of his talent or the team's situation. That's just those two specific weeks.
Judy's not going to help, though, is he?
He's not going to help the target market share, but he could very well help the offense, help, you know, open things up for you know, more wide receivers. I don't think he's a guaranteed negative for Sutton.
Miami Dolphins 1-3 taking on the 3-1 Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Tampa. DraftKings Sportsbook line, Buccaneers -10. Taking the Buccaneers minus the points.
Wow.
The over-under is 48. Miami trying to move the football is, it's not a pleasant.
It's unwatchable.
It's not, yeah, okay. All right, let's go there. Let's go unwatch. It's true. It's Jacoby Brissett and Malcolm Brown. Now watch them play football.
I mean, you can't make me.
That's the truth of the matter. And the implied point total for Miami is 19. Miles Gaskin's not a startable option right now. Jalen Waddle's not startable. Parker's not startable. It's Mike Gesicki and no one else. That's the Miami prescription.
I think Parker is startable this week.
You think Parker's startable this
week? I do. Because
Fuller's out and...
Yes, Fuller is out. Waddle has his role. And
can I wince at least? Can I wince?
Oh, absolutely.
When I put him in the lineup, can
absolutely.
I like...
Absolutely. Look, I'm
yeah, you're peeking through your fingers.
Yeah.
I'm over here hesitantly saying that this is possible, but the Buccaneers are 32nd against fantasy wide receivers. The only way you can possibly move the ball against the Bucs is through
That's
the
true.
Air. And meanwhile, Devontae Parker is quietly seeing a solid amount of volume. You have a 30% target share this past week. On the season, he's sitting at 22%.
Like, but Mike!
Oh, my goodness, the voice of public opinion?
The Richard Sherman signed.
Oh, yeah, he did. And he said he felt like he had never left. I know he said that.
He looked like he had left.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, he looked like he was not going to.
He looked like they were targeting him.
Yeah, yeah. When Kendrick Bourne like wins on four straight digs, they are going to. They're not going to give up any rushing yardage. But if a team like New England that loves to rush the ball and has a scheme and some offensive line pieces can't run the ball against Tampa, good luck, Malcolm Brown, and you may have negative yards.
Parker had some highlight catches this past week where it was like, oh, there he is, Devontae, and it's eight targets a game. Again, on the season hasn't turned into a lot, but the matchup is there that you could desperately flex Devontae Parker if you need to.
DFS dart throw there as
absolutely.
Well. Absolutely. Tom Brady, yep. Leonard Fournette, it looks good.
Yes,
heck
please.
Yeah.
The Dolphins are just bleeding on, giving up so much on the ground. I don't know what happened to this season. These type of things happen every year where a team is turning a certain direction. I think it happened in Cleveland,
right?
You know, where it was like, oh, everyone has expectations, and then you just have, you come out and the tire's flat and you can never inflate it. It's just the whole season the tire's flat.
Like Miami and Washington.
Yeah.
What happened? What happened to your defense?
Sugar in the gas tank, man.
Yeah, it's not good. Leonard Fournette had 25 opportunities. He's the bona fide starter. And
Giovanni Bernard was limited on Wednesday, so that, you know, brings down a little bit of that upside for Fournette because he becomes the full-time guy for the Bucs if Gio misses, but there's no guarantee that Bernard's playing yet.
Evans, Godwin, Brown, start.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. The New Orleans Saints at 2-2.
DFS dart throw, Cameron Brate.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
If Gronk is out.
Man, that was tough, though, to watch because there was a Cameron Brate is not, at this point in their career, athletically, he's probably very similar to Rob Gronkowski in a lot of ways. But the mind meld was so evidently gone. He missed every throw he threw to Cameron Brate. You know, he threw one to the back corner of the end zone and Brate turned the wrong way. But yeah, he will get targets. 2-2 teams. Let's battle. New Orleans, Washington. In Washington, DraftKings Sportsbook line has the Saints -2. If I, the over-under is 44, by the way, pretty low. If I'm deciding sportsbook lines, I think I am not happy to figure out the Saints every week.
Oh, yeah. Agreed. Who are they?
Who are you?
Is their defense good or bad? Is Jameis Winston decent or bad? Like, what are you going to get? And we don't know. So we've got to project how we're feeling about this game. You know, fantasy-wise, the Washington defense has gone from last year being third against quarterbacks, second against running backs, third against wide receivers, and top 10 against tight ends to just sucking across the board. You've got Heinicke, who's been airing it out, being aggressive, throwing the ball a lot. And then again, the Saints defense has been pretty good this year. So, oof.
Andy's almost upset of the week.
If the Washington defense is going to fix it, I think it's going to be this week at home against Jameis Winston.
I took Washington too.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I think that this might be the opportunity here to. Look, Alvin Kamara is going to have a ton of work. We already know that. You're always going to start him. But I'm not touching anybody else on the entire Saints offense, which is something that we've rarely said in the last 10 years. But I don't want to mess around. They're on the road here. Do you guys agree, disagree? Yeah. Would you take a shot anywhere else?
No, certainly not. I mean, you're telling me Marquez Callaway gets a bomb touchdown, has a great fantasy day? Great. He's not doing it on my roster. You can't project anything good for ancillary pieces of the Saints right now, not with this version of who they are.
Now, on the other side of the ball, it'll be a test for Taylor Heinicke going up against the Saints. Obviously, the Saints are favored on the road. He's been a top 12 quarterback three straight weeks. We don't want to ignore that as fantasy players just because he wasn't in the script, you know, so to speak, going into the year. Antonio Gibson was back in position drills today. I don't see how he is going to miss this one. He'll be back out there. Where do you find value on the Washington side? Do you, you know, Terry McLaurin should be back in your lineup.
Mm-hmm.
But if Curtis Samuel's active for some reason, if this was a rest day, you're probably sitting him.
Yeah, I mean, Curtis Samuel was one of those players that he comes out, looks decent, only plays 34% of the snaps last week, was involved, four targets, four receptions, trending in the right direction, where I was thinking he might be a start-worthy player this week. The fact that he had Wednesday off with the groin is just scary.
I'm trying to get some info on that right now.
It could be absolutely nothing. It could be like, hey, this is our plan, bringing him back. We're going to rest him on Wednesdays, and of course they're going to write groin because that's the injury that they were bringing him back from. So if it's planned and good and there hasn't been a setback,
working
he should
on
be
the
fine.
Side.
Working on the side.
Yeah.
So I don't know
yeah,
if that's
he's
good.
No, that's bad. So he's out to me. Like, I'm not starting Curtis Samuel. That says to me that if on a Thursday, it wasn't just a Wednesday day of rest, but he is not participating and not being able to practice in full, that there is either a fear of a setback or has been a setback. So
not
he's
just,
out.
Not just managing snaps, maybe?
I don't think so. At the very least, here's what you know. By him working on the sideline, is that they're not going to overdo it with him. He's not going to go out there and get 86% of snaps.
That's true.
That's not happening. So you're going to see, at best, what you saw last week, 35% of snaps, four or five targets. No, he's not in my lineup at all. In
probably
fact,
better to draw a line in the sand today and not even worry about it.
Yeah, the line in the sand for me is what I'm trying to figure out is, do I want him on my roster? I want to deal with this every week or just move on and find someone that I can rely on and actually put in on a bye week? Because right now, I do not feel confident in Curtis Samuel's availability.
Would you rather hold out hope for Rondale Moore on your roster or hold out hope for Curtis Samuel on your roster?
Oh, man.
That's a great comp.
I lean Rondale Moore.
It's funny. I find I think practically speaking, like in a redraft league, I should probably drop Rondale and find another option, but I can't do it. I can't bring myself to do it. And if you're in a league with like some keepers in it, it's hard to let him go because Mike, you and I were talking about this. Speaking of Rondale briefly, like Christian Kirk's a free agent. AJ Green's on a 1-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like Rondale Moore is part of the future and Kyler's young and this team has so much potential. So Rondale looks like a player that you could have as a keeper, even if he's not every week viable.
Sure.
The Tennessee Titans are 2-2. They take on the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, Titans -4. The over-under is 48.5 points. This is a game I could easily see hit the over. Mike talked about some optimism about Trevor Lawrence. Why? Because Jason did. The jerseys.
Don't you dare put that Urban Meyer hope on me.
Yeah, the jerseys on the other side of the field, they say Titans on them. Mm. And that is an attractive thing for offensive pieces this year. 31st against wide receivers, 22nd against opposing fantasy quarterbacks. So are you optimistic here? Are they getting off the schneid, Jason? Are you calling for a Jacksonville win with Trevor Lawrence this week?
I am not calling for a Jacksonville win. I think that they still have Urban Meyer currently, so they will lose this game. But I agree with your take on this being a game that could easily hit the over because, I mean, you saw the Jets. The Jets' offense has been as putrid and bad as any offense I can remember, and now all of a sudden we have more optimism towards them because of what they were able to do against the Titans. Zach Wilson has been putrid, and then he got the Titans. The Titans' secondary doesn't exist. They were 30th against wide receiver all of last year. They're 31st this year. It's more of the same. So, yes, throw the ball against Tennessee, but the Tennessee Derrick Henrys are very, very good. They will run it down the throat of the Jacksonville Jaguars and claim the W.
Well, Laviska Shenault and Marvin Jones, a little bit of clarity in that wide receiver room, so both players are startable.
Mm-hmm.
James Robinson's very startable. The opportunities are there for Robinson, and he will be fed and hopefully get some targets this week.
I don't disagree. If I have James Robinson on my team, I'm very hopeful and looking forward to this start. But as an NFL analyst, I'm interested to see what do they do. What does Urban Meyer do if Carlos Hyde is healthy and ready to play again? Because he was a late scratch last week because of health. I think it was a shoulder, if I remember correctly. But
I'm encouraged by the game he was in, by the Arizona game, where James Robinson came out and gave you the running back three performance with Carlos Hyde.
Yeah, but I'm saying that the Carlos Hyde will probably walk right back into 40% of the snaps.
I don't think he will.
Because I think the last time we saw Carlos Hyde, he
maybe 20-25%.
Yeah, I would. I mean, you're right.
So 40% a little bit high, but 34-35% won't surprise me. And that's a big hit to James Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly will nerf some of the total opportunities, but he is still the guy. I mean, even when Hyde was there after week one, when it wasn't just a blowout, he was clearly the guy. The question I have in this game is A.J. Brown, if he's healthy. How confident are you in starting him in the great matchup against the Jaguars? If he's out there, there's no Julio, right? I mean, there's no way he's playing this week.
Him.
So are you playing him over someone like Antonio Brown, Marquise Brown?
If he's alone and Julio's not on the other side of the field and they determine he's healthy enough to get back out there.
Yes, then I'm playing him.
Yeah, those are tough decisions, though. Antonio Brown one's tough with all the targets and the matchup. But you probably should play into A.J. Brown in that situation. Play action passes work a lot better with Julio and A.J. out there. I didn't mention it. Dan Arnold is a dart throw at tight end. He may see quite a few targets. Otherwise, you know, Henry's in there. Tannehill, I think you could stream him. If A.J. Brown's back out there, you feel a lot better about that.
Yeah, I would only stream him if A.J. Brown is out there.
That's fair. The nice thing though is that the Tennessee Titans defense likes to give up points, and that puts them
they
in a
do.
Position where they.
It's nice of them.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get into the starts.
Starts of the week.
I'm watching on YouTube here the video intro to starts of the week, and I look maniacal. I look insane in that. Like, I'm way too excited about my starts of the week.
Oh, well, then you should kick it off.
How about James Robinson against Tennessee?
Okay.
Like I said, seeing the Titans jerseys on the other side of the ball, it's a delightful thing. He's been a top 10 running back two consecutive weeks. He's had 20-plus opportunities for two straight weeks. I don't care about the snap count. I care about the opportunities. 20-plus, give them to me. Oh, he's also really good. He's a good runner.
Yes, he is.
And so I think it's a solid day for J-Rob in this matchup against Tennessee, running back start of the week.
I'm going with Damian Williams as my running back start of the week. This is not a situation where just running back goes down and you have to throw the backup in. I brought up Alex Collins as a flex. But in this one, Damian Williams is going to be great. David Montgomery was ready to smash this matchup in Las Vegas against the Raiders. First things first, Damian Williams has been practicing in full all week. So there were worries about the thigh bruise when waivers were going through. Is he going to be healthy? He's fully the guy, so there's no fear there. He came in last week after Monty went down, and he was 8 for 55 and a touchdown with two receptions, and they need him. Thank you. I missed that. Matt DeSorbo, great writer for us. He does an article every week called The Math Behind the Matchups, and he highlighted that the Bears' offensive line in the run game is top five and going to the left and to the right. And the Raiders' defense are bottom five in rushing to the left and to the center. So I don't think that the Raiders will make Damian Williams an ineffective runner. This is a guy that, if you remember, he's got long speed.
Yes.
You know, he's got runs of 69 runs. He had a 91
nice.
Yard run before. Yeah, very nice. And he's an effective back in the receiving game. Damian Williams to me is certainly someone that's going to be started this week.
And mine's short and simple. It's Leonard Fournette against the Miami Dolphins. This is who we're picking on now. They've already given up 3 100-yard rushers, and if you recall, both the Buffalo Bills running backs smashed. Leonard Fournette is the guy. There's really no Ronald Jones fears at this point of him really eating into the Fournette workload. If Giovanni Bernard is out, even more fantasy points will be coming to Fournette. But even if Bernard is in, I'm still playing Fournette with full confidence.
Yeah, I agree completely with this. I went to make him my start of the week, which means, Foot Clan, be aware, Ronald Jones top five week. As soon as you have clarity on a Bruce Arians backfield and it's so sure, because this one does seem for sure, that's when old Brucey,
he gets you.
Old scallywag.
Gets you goat. All right, my quarterback start of the week, you know, sometimes it can be a scary thing to go out on an island when these games are isolated and make a player your start of the week with everyone watching. But I'm not scared. Matthew Stafford against Seattle, coming off the loss, facing the vulnerable Seattle defense. The over-under is delightful, 54.5, and they're favored. And look, he had a number three overall week 2 weeks ago against the Tampa Bay defense. I think tonight's going to be a golden performance for Matthew Stafford.
And I will be going with Kirk Cousins. He had a putrid week this last week, unfortunately, against what is a very good-looking Browns defense. But Cousins was playing very well. The quarterback 13, the quarterback 6, the quarterback 6 against Cincinnati, Arizona, and Seattle. Dalvin Cook is limited. He's playing at home against the Lions this week with an implied point total of 29 points. So I would fire him up and not overreact to last week's bad performance.
And here we go again.
Oh, no.
We're doing it.
No.
Daniel Jones from the New York Giants. Yes. Yes, I totally understand that, but the process says this is a good play. The Dallas Cowboys have given up a top 12 quarterback in 3 of their 4 games. Daniel Jones was an absolute monster last week. He threw for over 400 yards against the New Orleans Saints.
Can I add something to your battle?
Please.
The gap between Jalen Hurts and Daniel Jones rushing yards is not that big.
Yeah, Daniel Jones is, that's what I'm saying. He is running a lot, 4 for 27 this past week. Like that's enough. Hopefully a little bit more, but that is a nice little padding of the stats here. It's a good over under against the Dallas Cowboys.
I think the highest of the week.
It is a divisional matchup, so sometimes things go wonky. They're not the Kansas City one is. Kansas City and the Rams are currently higher, at least from what I'm looking at.
Okay,
but it's third.
It's up there,
but third of the week. So I want in on it. And Daniel Jones has been, you know, he's been
hot and cold.
He's been hot and cold, but when he is hot, he's week winning hot. And I think he can do it again against Dallas.
Yeah. Plus, you get to say you won with Daniel Jones.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question?
It's a badge of honor.
Andy, about Daniel Jones?
Yes.
So he's been hot and cold, had some good games, had some putrid games. Where is he on the season? Quarterback what?
Oh, this is a guy. You want me to guess?
Yes.
11?
6. Okay. He's the quarterback 6 so far. He's been good for fantasy. So, yes, we don't like the name, but we like the stats. Yes.
I find myself kind of rooting for the Giants now.
I can see that, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm on board.
Yeah. So, are we moving on?
Yep.
Next position?
Yes.
All right, wide receiver, I'm going to go with Deontay Johnson.
Yes.
If you can wipe the swamp mud away from your eyes, having to watch this Pittsburgh offense.
That's a lot.
Deontay is dominating.
That tickled me.
Double digit. Thank you. I knew that it wasn't the best choice, but it was the choice I was going to make. Double digit targets every game, 9 receptions in the last 2. He scored twice this year. Denver is good, but they can be beat. And Big Ben, well, he can't throw the ball very far. Deontay is a safety valve. He's a touchdown threat. He's a go-to. He's an everything. Deontay is going to finish in the top 10 this year at the wide receiver position. And you should accept that.
If Big Ben finishes the season and Deontay finishes the season, I don't see how he doesn't. My start of the week at wide receiver is Marvin Jones. He just had a super dud week. 3 for 24 against the Bengals. You want to sit him.
I need this butt tap.
Don't sit him. The first 3 weeks of the season, he had 9 targets, 11 targets, 8 targets. Now they lost DJ Chark. I expect he'll be right around the double-digit targets this week. And oh! Remember us talking about the Tennessee Titans defense? They are as good as it gets when it comes to the matchup at wide receiver. 32nd out of 32. They're not good. They give up the second most points to wide receiver in week 1. The most in week 2. And the second most again this last week. Their secondary is trash, but their offense is good enough to put points on the board. So if there's a
like
spot
it.
For Trevor Lawrence to be good, it's this week, and I think Marvin Jones is the main man.
And I'm going right off the waiver wire, right into your flex position. It's Jamison Crowder from the New York Jets.
Wait, he's active?
I believe he will be active again. Fingers crossed.
Are you serious?
This is incredible news.
The matchup against the Falcons, the Falcons are 7th in allowing fantasy points to the wide receiver position, and Crowder walked right into a 26% target share, and he only played on 62% of the snaps. He will be a focal point of this offense. I think he will be that target hog that you were hoping that Corey Davis was from the preseason moving in, but the NFL is a lot harder in the regular season than it is in the preseason, so Zach Wilson has been looking for his slot wide receiver more and more.
I'm going with Kyle Pitts as my tight end start of the week in London against the Jets. With Kyle Pitts, you need to trust the more predictable metrics at the tight end position. He's on pace for 110 targets and over 800 receiving yards. He has not found the end zone. We don't know what's going on with Calvin Ridley. We know Russell Gage is likely to miss this week again. And the Jets, look, they're not going to get shut down on their offensive side of the ball by Atlanta's defense. I think you could have a high-scoring affair over in, Tottenham Stadium?
Tottenham.
So I think you need to trust. Look, there are five tight ends at the tippy top. That's Kittle, Kelsey, Waller, Hockenson, and Andrews. Mm-hmm. Those five guys are pretty secured there with beating out Kyle Pitts in the predictable metrics. But beyond that, Kyle Pitts offers the most week-to-week upside. He's number four in 20-plus yard passes for the tight end position. You got to score eventually to be relevant for fantasy. So if he never scores, there's egg on your face. But give me the targets. Give me the fact that he lined up 39% of the time as a wide receiver in these games. And I'm going to take another shot with him.
Yeah, it's good advice because I think people might be scared and the behind-the-scenes metrics are there. My tight end start of the week is Mike Gesicki at Tampa Bay. We talked about the Tulsa Dolphins having no chance. They stink. They can't run the ball. Will Fuller's on IR. It is a mess. But they have to pass to Gesicki.
Yep. Yeah, they do.
Yes, they do. 18 targets over the last 2 weeks, both top 10 tight end finishes, and Tampa Bay is 27th in points given up to tight end, and they are the only team in the entire league that has yet to not give up a top 12 fantasy week in points to the tight end position. Gesicki is a great play this week.
I love the Gesicki call. Mine is Dalton Schultz, the Giants.
This is a big moment.
Yeah, the Giants are giving up the fourth most points to the tight end position, and they have not played elite tight ends. Like, usually, you know, when you go into our stream finder tool at jointhefoot.com, you can see, oh, this team's hemorrhaging points to the tight end position. Oh, they played Waller and they played Kelsey, so of course, but the Giants are not playing those high-end guys, and they're still giving up points. Dalton Schultz is who I thought, or is who I hoped Blake Jarwin would
become. What if we just rename him Blake Jarwin as his
nickname? We did that.
Yeah, because then Blake Jarwin's doing it.
Dalton Schultz is playing fantastic football. He has a 32% target share over the last 2 weeks. Dak Prescott.
He's looking at him. He's looking for him.
Prescott, he's always looked to the tight end position, and it's Dalton Schultz now. If you got Dalton Schultz off your waiver wire, I think you should feel very secure that you have a top 12 tight end for the rest of the season.
Jason Moore's ironclad, locked and loaded, 100% guaranteed boom, boom kicker of the week.
My bad dancing last week turned me into a sucker, so I'm going to a fancy dinner this week with the Ravens' Justin Tucker.
Oh, you did the Charleston.
That's right. And it didn't work out because Carlston.
So you digging deep this week.
Rolled my ankle.
Digging deep with the Justin
Going
Tucker.
Going all the way
Justin
down
Tucker
to
recommendation.
Old JT.
What's his name?
Justin Tucker.
Okay, I'm going to check my waiver wire real quick.
Okay, yeah, let me know.
Keep looking.
Let me know. He is, to be fair.
Scroll down.
To be fair, he is literally available in every single waiver wire you play because we don't have kickers on rosters. So get that garbage out of our leagues. And
get bodied. We want to thank Pristine Auction for supporting the show. A Debo Samuel signed mini helmet, $54 right now. Ends Tuesday night at Deontay. The Dominator Johnson signed jersey, $50. Wow, that's rough. Ends Tuesday night, but you can find hundreds of daily sports memorabilia auctions over there. And use the code BALLERS and get a $10 credit. We will hit the rest of the matchups tomorrow. So enjoy your afternoon, your evening, and we'll talk to you then. JoinTheFoot.com if you want to become a part of our fantasy football community.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.